successfully for office in this long as more and more women.
Britain has shown they were ready for it. India has shown they can do it. And Israel, absolutely. That it would be a safer position as well.
With more and more qualified people out there, there's going to be a larger pool to choose from, and it will happen.
Wherever women concerned about policies and politics gather these days, one subject is sure to come up. Will the Democrats nominate a woman running mate? A woman for the job a heartbeat away from the presidency? Is 1984 the year we'll see a woman on the ticket?
It's not likely, because we've got a lot of chauvinists around, but I think that no matter what sex a person is, if it's qualified, it should be on the ticket.
I absolutely think that we need a woman on the ticket. Over 53% of the population...
I'm not sure that this is the year, but it's certainly time. If there were a well-qualified woman...
So there are all these levels going on.
In the last decade or so, the role of women in American politics has changed rapidly. The number of women elected to state legislatures has tripled. The number of women in Congress is at an all-time high. More women are voting than men. This year, some predict women will cast 8 million more ballots than men. And suddenly, women voters and their concerns have become a force to be reckoned with in this presidential election.
Glenn, I cut you off rather abruptly on a couple of answers. Let me give you a chance to answer it.
The Democratic candidates trailing Ronald Reagan in the polls are eyeing the untapped reservoir of women voters.
And I will look at the ablest and most gifted women as potential running mates. I think
in this country of ours, we've gotten past the time period where gender or race should have anything to do with running for any office in the land, whether it's the Senate.
If Golda Meir can run Israel during a time of war, if Mrs. Thatcher can run Britain, a woman can run this country. We need to remove those restrictions.
I frankly have never seen why a woman should sit back and wait for the obvious time to men say, okay, it's your turn. If we're interested, step forward.
Shirley Republican Senator Nancy Kassebaum of Kansas came late to politics, although she grew up hearing about it from her father, Alf Landon. He was the Republican presidential candidate in 1936.
You'll have a big majority this time.
Kassebaum came to the Senate in 1978 and quickly won the respect of colleagues in both parties. She was mentioned for the vice presidency 4 years ago, but she was irritated by what she considered tokenism.
I really don't know why we have to wait to be anointed. I think that it's a question of the right woman feeling that she wants to try and do it and fight for it.
The Democrats will have Governor Martha Collins of Kentucky in the spotlight as chairman of their national convention.
Well, of course, we might have a better chance in 4 years or 8 years or 12 years, but I think the people are ready this year, and I think it's just a matter of finding the right candidate.
As an idealist, I would say that we are about the Lord's work. As a realist, I would say thank God for the gender gap. My private pension reform bill...
One possible Democratic candidate is Geraldine Ferraro of New York. She came to the House of Representatives the same year Kassebaum came to the Senate and quickly found a place in the party machinery.
You can force a woman to have a child, but you can't force her to want it or care for it or keep it.
4 years ago, the Democrats made her deputy national chairman.
I must tell you that as a mother of three teenagers, I fear for them. I fear that we are leaving our children the legacy of a philosophy for the 80s, which is built upon a platform of selfishness.
Ferraro will head the platform committee at the 1984 convention, setting the agenda of issues.
The candidate will sit down with a very short list of individuals whom he will consider for vice president. I would believe very strongly that there will be a woman's name on that short list. And I think what they'll do is they'll judge her as they will any other candidate. You know, what can that individual bring to the ticket?
We are making history, and women will elect the next president of the United States.
Well, Eleanor Smeal, former president of the National Organization for Women, says women must keep on pushing, emphasizing what ought to be obvious.
Well, right now, poll after poll shows there would be a gain if there was a female on the ticket, and it means probably that ticket would win. I think we should hang in there and keep saying it until those who take change sort of slowly get the message and put a woman on the ticket.
President Reagan's policies, especially on the feminist issues, ERA and abortion, but also on unemployment and military defense, have angered women, even Republican women. The result is the gender gap, the difference in the way men and women have been voting. It worries the president's strategists, and it encourages those who'd like to defeat him and those who think it's about time a woman held one of the highest offices in the land.
With regard to Ronald Reagan, more and more of our Republican members are feeling very strongly that his alarming insensitivity to women and minorities is unacceptable. And I think they're prepared to seriously consider voting for the Democratic nominee for president, really for the first time.
Kathy Wilson, a Republican, is president of the National Women's Political Caucus. She's sharply critical of certain actions by Ronald Reagan.
Certainly, the removal of the Equal Rights Amendment from the Republican platform in 1980, which really sparked the gender gap as we know it today. His insistence on a constitutional amendment that would prohibit abortions or a woman's right to choose to have control over her own body.
One thing everybody seems to agree on, the gender gap is not just about feminist issues.
It's war and peace is the big issue. It's arms control. It's the environment. And this administration, you know, has been particularly big on all those issues. I mean, you've seen a breakdown in arms negotiation with the Soviet Union. We are coming on very, very tough. You see the military intervention that we've been involved in, whether it's Lebanon or it's Grenada or it's covert aid in Nicaragua. Women are very, very concerned about that. You see the deployment of missiles in Europe. And that's Reagan and his policies. I don't think you can say it's the whole Republican Party. I think that he has really created that gender gap, and it will be exacerbated as long as he is president of the United States.
Is it Ronald Reagan who scares them into this gap, so to speak?
Well, I suppose an argument can be made for that with what the polls are showing. Particularly, I think, on the war peace question, many women have been concerned about the heightened perceived emphasis on the military budget, the defense buildup, the priorities that speaks to in the budget. So I think that perhaps the president has exacerbated some of the tensions that exist there.
Democratic women like to go back to their 1972 convention, when two women challenged their party with comparatively little impact.
I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am Black and proud.
In 1972, Shirley Chisholm ran for the presidential nomination. And in 1972, at the Democratic convention, she decided not to run for the vice presidency. And at that time, the National Woman's Political Caucus called me and told me they could go with an endorsement for me.
Make history know that this was a different convention. Vote for Sissy Farenthold for vice president of the United States. Thank you.
Sissy Farenthold of Texas galvanized the women of the convention, but failed to impress the men.
Concerned that, what would your second choice be for the vice presidency, aside from yourself?
I'd have to take a look at the list of them, and I really don't know at this time.
Farenthold won 460 votes, second only to George McGovern's choice, Senator Tom Eagleton.
I'm not even put on a long list of prospective candidates after Eagleton resigns. Nothing. Nothing in the editorial page except one little blurb in the New York Post. One editorial by Nicholas von Hoffman and nothing else. It was as if it had not happened. And so here we are in 1984, and lo and behold, it is something that is of interest to the media.
I would be proud to run on either end of a national ticket with a woman. The same is true of any American in a minority in this country.
I just want to make one pledge. This time I'm going to be careful.
I must say I couldn't help but think, yes, Senator Hart, and yes, Senator McGovern, you have really changed in a decade, because I can remember Gary Hart's irritation at my candidacy. I can remember having my McGovern telephone taken away from me by Pierre Salinger and so on. So we're seeing a great change in attitude.
Speaker, I would like to yield 2 minutes to the gentlelady from New York, Mrs. Ferraro.
Gentlelady from New York is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank my colleague for yielding.
Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro says it's getting easier every year, but still, a woman must work harder to prove herself. Once she does, she can move on up the political ladder.
I've been talking to numerous people, as you know, about the possibility of a Senate race in 86, and people have been talking about, you know, the vice presidential things. And people are enthusiastic and go for it. You know, they're just very excited. So, you know, I don't know if I will. I may just stay, you know, forever.
Thank you. I'm feeling pretty good.
Good. Well, vote for you every time.
I'll take it every time. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
When it comes right down to it, women are and should be involved in every major issue facing this world in the year of 1984. First and foremost, peace is a woman's issue. And today, we mothers mourn the death of another Marine in Beirut.
Many candidates, many of my colleagues are wanting women to come help campaign for them. And so there's a recognition for the first time that that's an important voting segment.
I go back to my own Senate campaign, which everybody was saying, particularly men, oh, Kansas isn't ready for a woman yet. Woman can't really win in this race, including my own dad, who really didn't think I could win.
What happened in the sense of when did they begin to change their minds?
Not till I won.
As you can tell, the women are taking over. I'm surrounded here, powerless to act, powerless to do anything, but...
In many ways, the whole political process is still an old boys' club. Women haven't necessarily always fought for a position of prominence in the party. We're in a position to do it now, but it takes fighting for it. I don't know that the vice presidency as such is something that as a woman you set your sights for. Why not the presidency? I mean, I think if you have the ability to be one, you certainly have the ability to be the other.
We will never give up. We will never give up. We will never give in. We will never give in.
The numbers are there. The passion is there. But ironically, the same force which triggered the gender gap has worked against a woman presidential candidate this year. Women's organizations say it's more important to defeat Ronald Reagan than to start a risky battle for a woman as president. They expect to back the male Democratic nominee and then to press him to select a woman running mate this time. and they're massing to seize the initiative and run a woman for the presidency next time. They're determined to win and on their own terms.
We are competing in a man's world, and we're playing by the rules they play by, but I don't think we're becoming more like men. I think we're very much women, and we're pleased with it.